Okay. So one, two, three. Bill, would you be the security guard and close the doors? Very good. Okay, you just managed to get in before the flight takes off to Nibbana. Poor old Prem can't get in. Too late. Come on. If you want to come in, come in. We are closing the gates for today's meditation. Crikey, there's people coming all sorts of times. Oh, you've got one of the nuns. There's one nun just coming in. Which one is that? Well, still the junior nun. The senior nun hasn't come yet. Where's she? Having a break. Okay, so if you want to come in, please come in. We should start some meditation. So, very good, it's 3 o'clock according to my clock. And so in order to make the best of this time, I usually go on till 4:15, and sometimes even longer. But today, because we're having our annual general meeting afterwards, we have to stop at 3 o'clock. So what I'm going to do, tiny bit of introduction till 10 past, and then we've been meditating to probably 40 minutes, and then 10 minutes of quick Q&A if there is any questions. And then at 4 o'clock, we stop for the AGM. Okay, very good. So here we go. So again, for the way of meditation, one of the things which I've noticed that people always ask questions on, they try and follow the instructions, they get so peaceful, but then nothing else happens. And they get to like a blockage in their meditation. I wonder just why. First of all, the very idea they got to a blockage in their meditation shows me that they're aiming for something. If they weren't aiming for anything, then they get to a certain place. It should be reasonably peaceful. And a person should think, oh, this is good enough for me. It's nice and peaceful. It's quiet. What more do you want? It's all wanting again causes the problems. And so when I'm meditating, you let go and allow the conditions to make the mind nice and peaceful. And just sometimes you don't have the time to go not all the way into the very deepest of meditations, but you can go quite nicely. And even to the beautiful breath. That's lovely. The delightful breath, sitting here just watching the breath come in. Ah, watching the breath go out. Ah, that's so nice. So what is that people want anything more for? But that ego, wanting to attain things, wanting to get some things, it's a self. The idea of me who wants to crack this meditation and get the deepest meditation, get enlightened or whatever, that sense of self, that creates the wanting. And the wanting stops the meditation. So, Ajahn Chah, my teachers, one of his famous sayings, instructions rather, for meditation. He would say this so often, but it took me many years before I understood what he was talking about. He said, we meditate not to gain things or to attain things. We meditate to let go of things, not to attain. So if you're meditating, trying to attain a nimitta, trying to attain a jhana, trying to attain insight, trying to attain nirvana, you are going to suffer. That is not the path. The path is learning how to let go of things. So it doesn't matter how far you let go, say you're in the delightful breath, let go of trying. Let go of trying to attain something. Let try of wanting something more. Even if you've experienced deeper states of meditation before, this is good enough for me. You know, that became one of my little mantras. I used to remind myself when I was meditating, good enough. It was good enough was just, it was a translation of what I learned from the Thai monks. They said, Pordi, Pordi. In other words, you're meditating. It doesn't matter where you were in your meditation, Pordi, which means good enough. And what that did, this is good enough, it reminded me not to try to attain things. This really was good enough. And as soon as I thought this was good enough, it really became good enough. And the experience which I had, well, this is good enough. And then it got really more peaceful because I wasn't trying. Well, this is really good enough. Wow, this is exceptionally good enough. Wow, this is amazingly good enough. This is good enough. The happiness, the depth, and the power of the meditation got deeper, and it just did that all by itself. I did not force it, I didn't ask it to happen, I didn't make it happen, I just let go more and more and more. No try to attain, just let things be. And how do you let things be? That's so hard, because let it be. Come on, Ajahn Brahm. Let it be. Come on, remember that. Of course, that's not letting things be. It's one of the reasons why, like the talk last night about the thousand petal lotus, you see, the kindness which you give to your poor meditation practice. How long have you been meditating? Some of you for years and years and years. Have you got into jhanas yet? Well, forget it. It's not going to happen. That's not fair. Because if you forget it, it's not going to happen in the future. It happens now. When you're not trying to achieve, you're not aiming for something which you don't really know what it is anyway. Just be in this moment with kindness. Like, you can't do this to your mind, but it's just a simile. There you are, poor mind. Be meditating for such a long time. You're really just, you know, trying to get deeply meditated. Poor mind, I know you're not going to make it, so shh. Be kind and let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. And then, when you stop trying, that is when things happen. You all know one of my favorite similes of chasing the donkey. No, that's wrong, isn't it? Or is it wrong? Just another way of looking at it. The donkey chasing the carrot, or is the carrot chasing the donkey? Depends which way you look. But anyway, the donkey chasing the carrot. You've heard that story many times before, and I've only got a couple of minutes. So when the donkey stops racing after the carrot, then the carrot comes towards the donkey. And that's a brilliant simile, because that's what happens. You've been racing after deep meditation, jhanas, enlightenment for so many years. And then, I'm not going to get it. My job is to try and make you stop. That's why I say it's hopeless. You're not going to, Thomas, look, no, be honest. You're not going to get jhanas. So stop chasing the carrot. And when you stop chasing the carrot, the carrot comes to you. And with that simile, learning how to stop, be still. Don't do anything. Don't want anything. Be here. Instead of thinking the happiness is somewhere in the future, just be here. That's not enough. Because for many people, it's like they stop and the carrot swings towards them and it bounces off their teeth. They forget to open their mouth. That's why I put in that extra little bit to say the door of my mouth is open to you, carrot. Come in. The door of my heart is open to you, stillness. Kindness. Joy. Kindness is one of the most wonderful ways of letting go. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not even about us. It's just kindness. Why not? So with that kindness you have to your meditation practice, you're not forcing your mind, you're not asking for anything, you're appreciating with this beautiful kindness whatever you're experiencing right now. what you're experiencing in this very moment, if you look at it with a kindly eye, it shows itself to you. And you go into it, deeply into it. What started off with even like an ache or a pain in the body, you let it be, you're kind to it. You're just watching it, this is good enough for me. You go into it, draws you in. The kindness gives the joy, the happiness, the delight, which draws the attention inside. Attainments, wanting, always takes the attention outside to some fantasy in the future. But if you stay in this moment, this is good enough for me, with kindness, it draws you in. And you're patient enough, just to allow it to happen. No rush, no time. And see what happens afterwards. Little by little, your meditation gets so easy. The easiest thing in the world to do. When you're not trying. Strange, isn't it? Why just letting things be, and just doing nothing, just relaxing? Why is that hard? Because we're addicted control freaks. We always want to control. We always want to take charge of our meditation. We always want to do it. We're not meditating. We're busy doing something else. Always wanting to get involved. Even when you're meditating, make it happen. You're wasting time. Let things be. Allow the mind to be still. Grant yourself a moment of peace. Allow things to happen. Your sense of self has to vanish for that. You're not in charge, you're not the boss, you're not the manager anymore. You're just the observer. Kind observer. Then the mind gets still all by itself. And the most wonderful experiences. And then you go looking into the books. You find all those things you read about in the books. You experience them. And you don't try. The attainments come to you. You don't chase the attainments. So anyway, that is how to meditate, so simply. So you can sit down, close your eyes, and stop trying. Don't do anything. Here we go. So I will be the control freak of the gong. But I already said 40 minutes and then I'll ring the gong. Here we go. Maybe I'll ring the gong, but maybe sometimes you get into deep meditations, you know, naturally, and so you just don't come out. So if I'm not out by 4:30, just cancel the AGM. Here we go. So I'll guide the first 5 or 6 minutes, or 10 minutes, or something. And then I'll let you be, as long as you don't do anything. So when I sit down, closing my eyes, and I feel my body, it feels really good today. The last few days it's been just really good energy. Well, probably maybe the weather. It's cooler, not so humid. Closing the eyes. And bringing the awareness to your body. Oh. As soon as I bring my awareness, my body already feels really relaxed. But anyway, just to make sure, I check my legs. They're like a friend, like a member of my family. Look at my legs, how are you down there? You may be a long way from my head, but I do care about you down there. I want you to be safe, healthy, comfortable, not bruised, not squashed. And I adjust my legs my feet, my ankles. I just check all parts of them. And my calves, my knees. Now, people do have lots of trouble with their knees. I've been sitting like this, cross-legged on the floor for years. 47 years as a monk. The first 7 years as a monk, I never saw a chair. I didn't ever sit on a chair for 7 years. I remember that because the first time I sat, oh, another story. I started it. When I went to visit my family in the UK, I had to sit on a chair for I don't know how many hours in the aircraft. That was torture. Anyway, so I go past my knees, making sure they're okay. My thighs, all these muscles. The more you practice mindfulness, the more you can all be aware of your own body. You can feel it. You know how to relax it. Even sometimes the pain, you can ease that pain. Sometimes the pain just goes. Not there anymore, it doesn't come back either. That's amazing. To feel the body, relax it to the max. And you feel your butt, you go further up your body. Big muscles, enjoying a lot of weight. If you need to adjust the cushion underneath your bottom, please do so. And actually I do, I will. Okay. And I stretch my back. That's nice. Check the organs in the front of my body, in the torso. The very bottom, sweeping up. Not checking each organ, because I don't know what each organ is. Just if you feel an ache or a pain, I pause there and send this beautiful kindness. The softness is smile. Whether it's my stomach, I've lived with you all my life, stomach. You really treated me well. Sometimes I've abused you, but I care for you. And I mean that. And you care for parts of your body as you move up with your attention. Those parts of the body respond. They become relaxed and at ease. They feel safe, cared for. And they open up to the body's own healing energy. Go further up the body. Past the lungs and the heart. And all the arteries and veins. Relaxing everything as you go up. You can feel what relaxation means. Not as a word, but as an experience. It's like you're bathing your own body in the ease of relaxation. You're bathing it inside with kindness. Body loves it. My one does. Everything gets loose and at ease. Feels good. I've got to be careful. I just don't indulge and just stop here and just enjoy the relaxation of the body. But I go further up to the shoulders. I relax my shoulders. Get them nice and loose. Feel those shoulders, not a piece of tension inside them at all. Maybe a little bit, but hardly any. Sweep my attention down my arms, elbows, forearms, wrists and hands. And I always ask my hands, are you happy there? Do you want to be adjusted? Today, my hands say, we're perfect down here. No need to adjust us. When the parts of the body are relaxed like that, they tend to disappear and vanish. When I got to my hands, I hard even to feel them. They're so at ease. It's almost like the senses are turned off. And then I go back to my shoulders and my neck, making sure the head is well balanced on top of the neck, making sure that the throat is nice and at ease. And I go to my face, as I mentioned last night, and every time I do guided meditation, I pay special importance to the muscles around the eyes and the mouth. Because when the face is tightened, the muscles are tightened, they can be tightened to give so many different expressions of anger, irritation, tiredness, love, all the emotions which are played out on a person's face. When I relax everything, face becomes beautiful, non-threatening, at ease, it's calm and welcoming. But I do that by training my awareness. I know those muscles, I've seen them so many times. I know how to relax them, so they're at ease. I know the feeling of ease. And it's so many times I know it like I know hot and cold. My eyes are just relaxing. Mouth relaxing. The whole face come into a very comfortable state of ease and looseness. And then before I leave the body to go inside, check every part of my body as a whole. Feel the body as a single unit, just a different way of perception. If I see anything there which is uncomfortable, I'll focus there and adjust it. But I miss my toe was a bit uncomfy. Yeah, that's better. Feel my body. As many of you know, I keep awareness of my body, which is relaxed. I adjust whenever it's needed, till I can feel the experience of delight of a relaxed body, the happiness of being relaxed, the joy of a body at ease. And I indulge in that delight for a few minutes. Because I know that that takes the relaxation deeper. And I want you to be relaxed before you go inside. Not be afraid of the delight at every stage of meditation. When you feel that joy, it's called Piti Sukha. so much easier to get into very, very deep meditation. It is good enough because it's delightful. Then for my body, it's time to go inside to my peaceometer. How peaceful, how agitated. 1 to 10, 1 is really peaceful, 10 is agitated. This method, you get to know how to make the mind peaceful. What the causes are for peace. This is how to meditate, creating peace, or rather allowing peace to grow inside your own mind. Soon find you do something, the reading on your peaceometer goes up closer to 10. You let things be. And your mind cools down. Become more and more peaceful. But please, when you are becoming peaceful, please notice the joy, delight, the profundity of a peaceful mind. And don't disturb it by saying things to try and work it out. You remember things pretty easily afterwards. You don't need to take notes. You don't even need to know what it is, what it's like at this stage. Just know without giving things a name. Try to lessen the business of your mind. If your mind becomes not just in the present moment, but silent. I look at my mind and I'm not talking to you. There's no words inside. Silent. Soon you feel the delight of a silent mind at peace. From there you can be aware of your breathing. This comes by itself. I'm very careful over many years of meditating never to control my breath. Never to make the breath long or short or more forceful or less forceful. I let the body breathe. It knows how to breathe much better than I. I just do the watching. The joyful watching. One of the reasons why it's delightful, because I've got nothing to do. I really relax. It's like going to the beach, watching the waves come in, the waves go out. Much more slowly than most beaches. It calms me down. The peaceometer reads closer and closer to 1. Watching the breath. Delightful. Joyful. I always call this the pivot point of meditation. Watching the breath inside, calm, delightful. Just need to be patient. Being aware, being kind. This is good enough. It's more than good enough. But the better will happen. As long as I keep still. And I will be quiet now. When I speak again, I'll be close to the end of the meditation. This is good enough. getting close to the end of the meditation. What are you aware of inside? Does it have that profound joy? Like a sunset is delightful to watch. This is deeper, more profound. It calms your inner world. And you check your body. Are you going from inside to the world? Go to your body next. Five senses. And feel my body mostly disappeared. Now coming back. Always just so relaxed. And understand how this meditation works. You're not as relaxed today. You certainly are much more delightful than when you started. There is no such thing as a bad meditation. I'm now going to ring the gong. When the gong finishes sounding for the third time, then come out of the meditation. I just have 10 minutes for questions. And after the questions are finished, I'm going to have to insist that everybody gets up and goes outside so that we can prepare this room for the AGM. So if you're in a quite deep meditation, please tell the mind soon you have to come out. Have two questions today, both from Germany. I get tense around the eyes and forehead during meditation. What is your advice? Forget about your eyes and your forehead. Just leave the body and go inside to your mind. How does your mind feel? Get your piezometer really aware. Because I get my body peaceful enough to let it go. Just like when you go to sleep at night, but this time I keep my awareness really strong. When you go to sleep at night, the whole body relaxes. And if your body's not relaxed, you've got a headache here, a pain there, of course you can't really go into sleep. It's not a good sleep. So if you've got tense around the eyes and the forehead, I'm not quite sure what meditation you're doing, but quite often people aren't following the instructions and they're watching their breath at the tip of the nose. Very often. When I first went to teach in Malaysia, people always had this samadhi headache. And I couldn't understand, what the heck are they doing? I'd never get headaches with meditation. I meditate to relieve headaches or just disappear from them. But anyway, I'd take my glasses off. You can watch my eyes. Now I'm going to watch the tip of the nose with my eyelids open. A few, you can see what I'm doing. You get cross-eyed. Because it's not supposed to be just feeling the breath at the tip of the nose, but whatever people are feeling, their eyes go looking at that too. It's just almost psychology. And imagine you're doing that for 10 or 20 minutes. You're going to get a headache across here for sure. So just, you don't do the breathing, the watching the breathing too soon. People in the West, this is from Germany, People are just so impatient. So this do breath meditation. I'm going to just watch my breath. Come on, I can do this. Watch my breath. They get tired. So just do a lot of stillness, relaxation. And what happens then was that when the mind gets, body gets relaxed and you go inside the mind, you get peaceful. What you are doing there is creating a strong sense of mindfulness. Your mindfulness is much more powerful than if you just close your eyes and try and watch the breath. Just like it says in the Anapanasati Sutta. You sit down and you don't establish mindfulness in front of you. You establish mindfulness as your first priority. And when you do that, the mindfulness is really, really strong. And the breath just comes up and it's so easy to watch. One of the problems with meditators is that they're in far too much of a rush. Of course, they never get anywhere. They're not peaceful enough. And they just try and go too far ahead of themselves. You relax. Let the body really relax so it disappears. The mind really peaceful. And then your awareness is really powerful. You can watch the breath easy. You don't watch the tip of the nose, you watch the breath. Little by little. You just, everything's relaxed and the body doesn't come up. When I meditate, the body doesn't come up until the end of the meditation. Don't feel the body. Just go inside and listen to the delightful breath, nimittas. Yeah, nimittas, and you're having a great deal of fun. So, the next question, what is the most important for meditation? Is whatever you're experiencing right now is the most important meditation object. Close your eyes, what are you experiencing now? That is my meditation object. What's the most important time? Easy now. What's the most important thing to do? To care. Be kind. Such a simple teaching. Emperor's Three Questions. And I do that regularly, especially when you start meditating, you may be anxious, not anxious so much as tired. You may have been busy doing lots of stuff. And so when I start my meditation, close your eyes, try to get the body nice and comfortable. Then, you know, if the body's really aching or sick or tired, then I just say, well, what am I aware of right now? This moment is all I have. It's good enough. Whatever I'm aware of right now, whatever, it might be a toothache, it might be a tummy ache, it might be just an overall tiredness in my body, it might be just sweaty because, you know, it's too hot today, or chilly because it's too cold. Whatever that is, that to me is important. If I don't like it, that's not the point. It's telling me something. It'll keep coming back until I've learned this lesson. So I let it in. I embrace it. I open the door of my heart to this moment. And I care for it. Beautiful method. Doesn't matter, I'm tired, I'm sick, I've got no energy, I've got heaps of energy, I've had too much tea or coffee or whatever. That's not the point. You can meditate with anything. Now is the most important time, and this is the most important thing. And even you know that when you get to your dying moment, you're really in pain maybe. Maybe you've got all sorts of drugs and antibiotics inside of you, but you're still aware. This is the most important time because it's right now. Whatever this thing you're experiencing, you don't try and analyze it. You try and be it. You don't even try to be it. You obviously are it. And you're kind, compassionate. And the body just relaxes. The mind relaxes and you go into some really deep meditation in the most impossible situations. Now in the good situations, whoa, that's very powerful. So what is the most important in meditation? Present moment, whatever's in front of you right now, and caring, nothing else. Don't try and cure things, get rid of things. That's craving. That way, it just gets so peaceful very easily, very powerfully. Simplest thing in the world when you follow instructions. You don't want to follow instructions, do you? You want to do it your way. Oh, well, carry on. I did my job. Okay, so that's, you know, any quick question from the floor? Great. Okay, so now I'm going to bow three times, and then please don't come up to ask any questions. That is verboten, forbidden, no, can it be done? And so just please go outside, then they will lock the doors, they get all of the scrutineers in here, and then we'll allow people to come in. So you've got a quarter of an hour or so, have a go to the toilet, have a glass of water or whatever, and then we'll get ready for the AGM, the election. Where's the ABC TV crew? And I thought the journalists and Channel 7 and Channel 9, this is really important. Okay. Okay, now bow three times.